Please stand in body or in spirit. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, the light of our light and our salvation. Amen. Joined to Christ in these, the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for this, the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over these waters. And by your word you created this world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word you claim us as sons and daughters, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of this water that sustains life. And above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ, the promised Lamb at the center of the throne, who will shepherd us into the springs of new life. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The whole world, for the world. Almighty God, you have knit your people together in one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Grant us grace to follow your blessed saints in lives of faith and commitment, and to know the inexplicable joys you have prepared for those who love you through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
The youth are now dismissed to go to jam. You can follow Tammy back there.
The first reading is from Isaiah, the 25th chapter. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 24 responsively with me. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from the God of their salvation. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. The second reading is from Revelation, the 21st chapter. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also, he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
According to St. John, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. Was a cave and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, Father, thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." This is most certainly the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be seated. And apparently my acolytes didn't get the memo that I didn't give them to light this candle up here. Well, how can you get the memo if I didn't give you the memo? Lydia's like, "You didn't tell me." Yeah, I know you did. I didn't tell you. Oops. It'll go, maybe. So, this verse, Jesus wept, right? Or, you know, as we heard it today from the NRSV, like one of the only translations that doesn't do it in two words, Jesus was weeping, or Jesus began to weep. This is famously the shortest verse in all of Scripture. Why do I know that? I don't know. I knew it as an eighth grader. That's why I know it. Do you know why I knew it as an eighth grader? Because I wanted that to be my confirmation verse. I didn't care why Jesus was weeping. I just wanted it to be the one I had to memorize. At which point, my mom told me, "No, absolutely not. That's not okay." Is that how she sounds? Don't agree. She's going to hear this, Ben. So what did I do instead? Out of spite, I picked a much longer verse, the longest one I could find, really. And then I told my friends that my mom made me pick the longest verse, which wasn't exactly a lie. Compared to Jesus wept, all of the verses are really long, but also kind of, sort of, definitely a lie. So sorry about that, Mom. So fast forward to 5 or 6 years ago, my beloved catechism student, Emily, who I've known since she was like three, she was about this tall, and she's now in her first year of nursing at Kent State. I taught her, as I said, in catechism, and guess what she wanted her catechism verse to be? Jesus wept. And wouldn't you know it, it only took me like 20 or more years, but finally, I became like my mom. No, absolutely not, was what I told Emily. But after I thought about it, and after she annoyed me about 300 times, I told her that she actually could use that verse if she wrote an essay explaining to me why this verse was such an important verse to her, and why this verse was so profound and such a profound part of Scripture. And I know you are all shocked. I'm still waiting on the essay. So I am going to send her a link to this worship service, and I will tell her that I will still accept the essay. So, Em?
She can wait till last minute to do it.
This sermon was done yesterday. Sort of. This also should serve as a warning to my current catechism students. Please pass it along, Brian, to Abby, that anything you can and say, you say can and in catechism can. Man, I messed the joke up. Anything you say in catechism can and probably will be used against you in a future sermon. So, but this verse, this Jesus wept, or Jesus began to weep. Could you really write an essay on why it's important? I mean, it's just two words, or four, depending on which. It has profound theological implications. Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, the one who was in the beginning, the one who is to come, God who is made man, began to weep. It's pretty important. But why did he import? Why did he cry? What was there for him to cry about in the first place? I mean, if we go back to the part before what we heard today, Jesus knew that Lazarus wouldn't be dead much longer. He told his disciples as much as they traveled to Bethany. He said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to waken him." Now, if you know anything about disciples, it's that, well, they make us feel really good about ourselves. They are kind of dumb. Here, they say, "Well, Jesus, if he's just sleeping, it's just fine. He'll wake up." And Jesus at this point says, "Why did I pick you?" And then he added, "I see that you're not very good with metaphors. So let me dumb this down for you. Lazarus is dead." And they're like, oh. Lazarus is dead, and Jesus is now going to Bethany to wake him from his sleep, the sleep that is death. So why does Jesus weep when he knows that he's going to wake Lazarus up from this four-day smelly nap? Why? It doesn't make sense,
does it? Yeah, he's like, it makes sense.
I'm good. So as Jesus nears, we didn't hear this part read today, but as Jesus nears, Lazarus has two sisters, Mary and Martha.
Martha greets
Jesus, and then admonishes Jesus, and then laments, and then kind of yells at Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And that had to make Jesus feel real good.
And then Mary
comes to Jesus and kneels at his feet and cries and begins to weep and laments and then blames Jesus. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Both sisters blame Jesus' absence on their brother's death. And they utter the same exact gut-wrenching words. And there Mary is at Jesus' feet, and she is weeping.
And she is deeply distressed.
She is
in pain.
She cries out, "My Lord and my God, why did you let my brother die? You who have cured the blind, have cured so many others. If you had only been here, my brother would not have died. What took you so long to get here, Jesus? It's your fault. It's your fault.
Does that
sound familiar to any of us? Why did you let my wife die, my husband die, my sister die, my mom and dad die, my child die? Why did you let my grandparents die? Why did you let my dear friend die? Don't you care that our loved ones, that my loved ones are suffering and that they're perishing, God, and that I am left here alone without them? Don't you hear my cries? Why do the treatments work for some and not others? Why didn't the treatment work for my loved one, God? Oh, and then there's that sudden heart attack, the car crash, the farming accident, the brain bleed, the one who just doesn't wake up, and I didn't even get to say goodbye. And what about when our children die, God? Whether it's sudden or maybe expected, how do we as parents figure out how to live on without them? Why would you allow them to be taken, God? You could have done something. If only you had been here, you could have done something. Why didn't you do it? And there's Jesus. He hears and he feels all of this. He takes it all on, and he's greatly disturbed in spirit, and he's deeply moved, and he asks, where have you your loved ones? Where have you laid? And they begin to show him, and it's too much. He can't take it all on, and he begins to weep. So there Jesus is, the Word made flesh, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who was at the beginning, the one who will be at the end, weeps with us. And I think that this tells us everything that there is to know about our God, the one who we call Lord and Savior. You see, our God, the one who is made known to us in Jesus Christ, weeps for us and weeps with us. You see, ours is not a faraway, detached God out there somewhere in the ether of the universe that doesn't care about us, that doesn't care about our suffering, that is ignorant of our suffering. Our God is here with us, ever present in our pain and our suffering, to the point of being greatly disturbed and deeply moved and weeping with us. My dear siblings in Christ, we are absolutely like Mary and Martha. We, like them, well, they were there, they were waiting, right? They anticipated Jesus coming. They knew he was going to show up. And he got delayed. Why? I don't know. A bunch of scholars have argued about it for a long time, but it doesn't matter. He was delayed. And as they waited, their loved one Lazarus dies. We are waiting, aren't we? We pray it every Sunday. What are we waiting for? Thy kingdom come. We pray it every Sunday. We are waiting for Jesus' return to this earth. And as we wait, Jesus just continues to be delayed for 2 millennia now. Where are you, Jesus? And when our loved ones die because Jesus didn't show up soon enough, we have questions. We have very angry questions. Angry and grief-filled and, unfortunately, really hard and perhaps impossible to answer questions. And I wish I could answer these questions for you and for me and for all of us, but I don't know the answers to these questions. And even Jesus, if you notice, even Jesus didn't answer Mary and Martha. They said, "Why did you allow my brother to die, Jesus?" And what does he say? Nothing. But he weeps. He weeps. He weeps with them, and if he weeps with them, he most certainly weeps with us. But there's something very different about the end of their story, right? Lazarus, he kind of didn't really stay dead, did he? And every time you hear this story, it might make you a little mad. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Not just sort of dead, like 4 days dead, like stench coming out of the tomb dead, like bound in a cloth like a mummy dead, like really, really, really dead. So it's understandable for us when our loved ones are waiting for a cure that never comes, that we might be a little mad, like, "Hey God, you remember the dude that you raised from the dead after 4 days? Why not my loved one? Just a little bit of cure from that cancer." I know they say that pancreatic cancer is the real bad one because, you know, you hide it from us until, you know, it's too late. But maybe just once you could cure somebody from it. And it never happens. I can't answer why. I don't know why. I do know, however, that Lazarus' resurrection is a sign of hope. It is a sign of what is to come for us. Lazarus' death and resurrection is Jesus' final sign in John's gospel, and it prefigures Jesus' own death and resurrection. And there is a promise of new and everlasting life that comes with Lazarus' resurrection and with Jesus' resurrection. And that is a hope that is for us and for all of the loved ones who have gone in faith before us. We are a people who so very impatiently awaits for Christ to return, don't we? "Thy kingdom come," we pray every Sunday. And then we add, "Oh, but your will be done, God." I mean, I know we want our will to be done, but your will be done, God. In your time, God. But we wait as Mary and Martha waited, and we grieve as they grieved, and we hope as they hoped, knowing that someday Jesus will come, and when he does, the kingdom that is promised, I can tell you it is way better than this one, the one we're living in now. And I know that because, unlike the disciples, I have read a metaphor before, and I can understand it. And we heard a few metaphors today, right? Here in Scripture, read by Beth. You want to know what the coming kingdom is like? Well, the prophet Isaiah tells us it's a mountain feast on which rich food and aged wine strain clear. And the Lord of hosts swallows up death forever. The Lord God will wipe tears from all faces, and we will be glad and rejoice in this salvation. And then there was another metaphor. I know you were all scared to listen when it was being read. It came from Revelation. You're like, "Oh, Revelation being read out loud. It's the Armageddon." Revelation has all kinds of good news in it. Stop being afraid of it, and let's hear that good news. The good news of a new heaven and a new earth. See, the home of God is among mortals. God will dwell with us here in this place, and we will be his peoples. And God himself will be with us. He will wipe every tear from our eyes, every tear from our faces, and death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. I cannot wait until that time. No more mourning or crying or pain or death. Death will be no more. It will be swallowed up. That's what we're told of this coming kingdom. And all of that sounds really great. It does. But I'm struck by this other emphasis that comes in both of these prophets. God will wipe the tears from our eyes. Now, anyone here ever had tears wiped from their eyes by someone else, not their own self? Yeah. Has anyone ever wiped tears from their daughter's eyes? Yeah. Now she's like, please stay away from me. Anyone ever done that for another or had it done for themselves? So if you've done this, you know the closeness that is required, the familiarity that is required, the trust that is required, the love that this act of wiping tears requires. And as we wait for this coming kingdom, God does this for us now through the tender hands of our loved ones who wipe our tears. And God promises to do this one final time with God's own hand when the kingdom finally comes. This next part's really hard for me because I have to say I think my mom was right. She's right about a lot of things, I guess, but not everything, but a lot of things. But specifically, she was right about not letting eighth grade me use Jesus wept as a confirmation verse. It's not because it's not an important verse, but I think it's because until we, like Jesus, weep, we cannot understand what this tells us about our God. As an eighth grader, I have to say, thankfully, I hadn't wept enough to understand how profound it is to know a God who weeps with us. A God who does not shy away from our yells and our accusations and our screams of, if you had only been there, God. Where were you, God? Why did you let my loved one die? A God who, instead of responding to those accusations and yells back, instead is greatly disturbed and deeply moved and weeps with us. With us. To know a God who, when we're ready, when our tears are mostly gone, but they're never fully gone, will wipe the tears from our eyes. And then, you know, the snot bubbles at the nut. You know the snot bubbles, right? Yeah. Our God is not a distant and a faraway God. Our God has literally, think about this, literally walked mile after mile after mile in our shoes. Well, or sandals, I'm sure. Has wept, has cried our tears, has experienced the suffering and pain of his friend dying, has seen and known the grief of his loved ones dying firsthand. Our God ultimately died our death, and our God continues to weep with us until one day he will wipe away the final tears, the no more tears, from our eyes. Our God raised Lazarus and Jesus after him, and because of this, our waiting, it is not a hopeless waiting. Like Mary and Martha before us, like our own loved ones before us, like all the saints who have died in the faith before us, we wait in hope, watching and waiting in hopeful expectation, confident that Christ will come. This is the story of our faith. It's the story that we go and we tell. It's a story that has been told by all the saints, past, the saints of present, and the saints that are still to come. Saints that will never hear this story if you all don't tell it. They need to hear this story. Amen. Thank you. We remember the great ones of our faith, from Abraham to Sarah, to Paul and Phoebe, ancestors of the faith.
We remember the prophets and priests, the ministers and teachers who have taught us the way of God.
Teachers of the faith, we remember you. We remember our grandparents and parents, aunts and uncles, those who have gone before us in our lifetime.
Family of our faith, we remember you.
We lift up the memories of children and grandchildren, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, parents, nieces and nephews, and friends whose lives ended too soon.
Those close to our heart, we remember you. We thank you, O God, for the lives of all the saints, our family members, loved ones, and friends who have died, and we remember them by lifting names to you now, either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. We give you thanks, O God, knowing that all the saints rest eternally in your loving embrace. Saints of God, we remember and honor you. We give thanks, O God, for all who have joined the church triumphant. We trust in the hope of resurrection and the promise of new life in Christ, and know that in our grief, O God, you grieve with us and wipe away every tear from our eyes. We are comforted by the blessed assurance brought forth by your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom all hope is found. Amen. Amen. At this time, I will light a candle for in the memories of the loved ones that we have lost in the past year. And at this time, I invite you to come forward as you are moved and able to do so, to light a candle in memory of your loved ones. And I ask that each person who comes forward only lights one candle. Good and gracious God, we thank you for the gifts of the lives of all the saints who we have remembered here today. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Are there any additional prayers for our prayers of intercession today? Please stand in body or in spirit. Rooted in God's abundant love for the world, let us pray for our neighbors, this church, and for all of creation.
O God of resurrection, you call us by name and raise us to life. Rouse your church from slumber, where we have held back in fear or shame. Unbind us. Embolden us to proclaim the good news of Christ crucified and risen in the word and deed here in Galion, Crawford County, in Ohio, and beyond, that all may know abundant life, merciful God.
Receive our prayer. O God of the earth, as we head to the polls this week, grant us discernment as we exercise our liberty to elect legislators and leaders. And remind us as we await the results that the fate of this kingdom, that the kingdom of God does not depend on political contests. We pray that candidates, those who protect them and the entire electorate may be kept safe, that the transfer of power may be peaceful, and that those who are elected, regardless of political allegiances, may govern with justice and uphold the dignity of all people. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. O God, who serves, you set before us a feast of rich food. Strengthen the hands and hearts of all who prepare and serve food in restaurants and coffee shops, in meal ministries, such as the First Supper, for those who operate the food pantries, such as the CCSG, and for all the farmers and laborers who work the feeds and hungry of this earth, merciful God.
Receive our prayer. O God of heaven, you make your home here among mortals. Come alongside those who weep this day. Befriend all who are lonely. Encourage those in despair and heal any who are suffering, especially Gene, Joe, Chuck, Haley, Troy and his family, Paige, Robin, Phil, Sandy, Scott, Gene, Tina, Barb, Jane, Dwayne, Ken, Robert, Tony, Ed, Bobby, Nancy, Jim, Bill, Linda, for Deb, for Jill, and for those who we name aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Abide with your faithful ones in love. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. O God, Alpha and Omega, we give you thanks for your faithful ones who are now at peace with you, especially our loved ones, friends, and family members who we name aloud and in the silence of our heart. With the saints of First Lutheran and all your saints of all times and all places, we praise you, for you have swallowed up death forever. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. We offer our prayers to you, gracious God, trusting in your boundless love for all that you have made. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. This is one of those up-down, up-down, down-up kind of services. So, one of you commented to me that of how just uncomfortable the kids were when I made them come stand up here this week. And so I promised that when we present our new members that I wouldn't make them do the same thing unless they really wanted to. If you are a new member, or I guess officially after you stand up, please stand right now. So we can acknowledge you and welcome you, and then there's, you know, this whole presentation thing we'll do, and it'll be awesome. So you'll see that most of the folks here are not necessarily new faces to you. Many of them have been here for quite a while, but anyway, I'll let you clap for them later. If you're able to continue standing, please stand through this. If not, please go ahead and sit back down. I encourage you all after the service to stay for a reception where we will greet all of our new members, and you will get a chance to meet them if you haven't already. So Let us begin. Dear friends, we give thanks for the gift of baptism and for our siblings in Christ, one with us in the body of Christ, whom we welcome as new members into the life and ministry of this congregation. I'm going to forget a name, so I'm not going to do that without it. Hang tight. Don't worry. Paul and Marilyn, Jim and Jane, Bob and Barb, Mike and Julie, Keith, Carol, Fred, Janet, Jennifer, Bob and Sherry, and Tony. He's sprung it on me. It's new. Tony's new this week or last week. Anyway, Tony have come to our congregation to share in our ministry and to follow the mission that God has given to First Lutheran Church. As a community, together, all of us, I ask that you that we profess our faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church. Please stand in body or in spirit. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and he sitteth at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
The
Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of life,
and life everlasting.
Amen. In baptism, we are welcomed into the body of Christ and sent to share in the mission of God. We are called to live among God's faithful people and to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ, good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus and to strive for justice and peace on this earth. So I ask you, Paul, Marilyn, Jim, Jane, Bob and Barb, Mike and Julie, Keith, Carol, Fred, Janet, Jennifer, Bob, Sherry, and Tony, do you intend to continue in the covenant of your baptism among God's people in this place? If so, please respond, I do, and I ask God to help and guide me. All the rest of y'all who didn't just talk, people of God, do you promise to support and pray for all these new members in their lives in Christ as part of this community of faith? If so, please respond, we do, and we ask God to help and guide us. We do, and we ask God to help and guide us. All right, so if you're not a new member, sit down. And now, if you are a new member, stand up. You don't have to stand back up. All right, and now I have my list. So I feel comfortable doing this. So we have here Marilyn Young and her husband, Pastor Paul Young. Don't hit me for saying pastor. I heard that you got mad. We're allowed to call him pastor. Paul is a retired pastor. Used to serve over at Peace Lutheran here in Galleon. And y'all are sort of back in the area. I know you live not in Galleon, but east of Galleon. And we have Sherry, right? You live in Candlewood. And you can sit down after I introduce you. And we have Tony DeGrady, who has returned. Our long-lost sheep. He was baptized here in 1986. And he is back. So welcome, Tony. And we have Jim and Jane Barker, plain Jane with a Y in her name. So Jim and Jane, you can be seated. It's really, really hard for me to get back there. We have Keith French, who's right here. He didn't let me do this for him. So Mike and Julie and Bob and Barb. And then here, of course, we have Fred Watkins. So let's welcome. Proclaim the good news to all the world. And that was when I was supposed to ask you to whatever. So anyway, welcome to this community of faith, First Lutheran Church in Galleon, Ohio. We are so happy to have you here with us. And with that, the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign that God speaks with one another. Now continue worship with our gifts and our offerings.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, our portion and our cup, you offered yourself in love for the world. And in this meal, you nourish us with your life. Fill us with your abundance, that we may feed the hungry and welcome the stranger, trusting in your name. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, he gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the table where all are always welcome, where we commune with the saints of all times and of all places, and where we in the body of Christ is healed and restored.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Faithful God, you have spread before us a feast of rich food and drink in the body and blood of your Son. Now send us out to labor with you in service to the world you have made and among the people you have made your home. In Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now.